are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning and welcome. This is the Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy, and I'm Henry Cuenca, and my show is about passion and people that weigh in on society and inspire and change lives. I welcome you to my show today. Today's guest, a Superior Court judge, a public defender, and former drug addict. These folks are remarkably unique in many ways. However, through one four-letter word, they have transformed this addicted individual who started his addiction at the age of 8, spent 6 years in state penitentiary, then graduated from the county's Addicted Offender Program, known as AOP. Our guests, the Honorable Judge Carabiti, Public Defender Tim Pappas, and graduate from the AOP leading a productive, inspiring life here in Shasta County, Michael Brown. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm very inspired to have such an elite group with us, and I want to kind of start by asking just really what is the AOP program?
Well, the AOP program is a program that was devised years ago by a collective group of people from the criminal justice system. It started out with Judge Ruggiero. Jim Ruggiero was probably the initiating judge at the time. I know that the public defender's office, I can't remember who it would have been represented by, but I know that Jeff Jens was involved in the making of the addicted offender program. It involved the assistance with the public, with the probation department, with Shasta County Mental Health, with Shasta County Alcohol and Drug, a collaborative group of people that were willing to completely focus a team to work with individuals one-on-one to ensure success for each individual that was part of the program.
And how long has this program been in effect?
I'd say it's been going on like 16, 17 years now. Yeah. What do you think?
Since 1994, I believe.
Yes.
1994.
And by the way, it's assistant public defender.
Oh, I see. Very good. Well, thank you. the program, your program has a phenomenal, remarkable success rate compared to other such programs within the state of California. And as I understand, we have here in Shasta County, through your guidance, an 80% success rate for graduates compared to about 80% failure rates of other state programs. That in itself is a pretty profound
number.
Yeah. I mean, that is just profound. Can you explain to us why our program here in Shasta County just sets ourselves so far apart from everybody else?
Well, the first thing we do is we recognize that for somebody to change, they have to have a desire to change. Mm. The state likes to throw money at programs and hundreds of millions of dollars at programs at people that don't want to change. So the first thing we do is we only allow those who really want to change their life, who really want a life of long-term sobriety, into the program. And then from there, it's a process where we teach them anew how to live their lives, how to get self-esteem back so that they actually like themselves. So many of them coming in hate themselves so much that they think drugs are the only way to mask that pain. So we teach them how to begin their life anew. And it is a process of caring. We literally let them know that we care about their success and their lives and the lives of their families and their children every single day that they're in the program.
Mm-hmm. The program is very selective, as Tim says. We just don't let anybody in. We have to make sure that they truly want that change. And that's the focal point, is sorting out between those people that realize that this is a program that will be completely, they will completely take charge of their lives, people that are willing to allow that to happen, versus those who are just trying to get away with not going on to prison. Mm-hmm. So that's the selective process that we have.
Is there a simple answer to the question, if we have so much success with this program, why we just can't create a template and make it spread throughout the entire state?
We could, depending on those people that are truly interested in helping. You know, you've got to deal with people in life that are desirous of helping people legitimately. In life, we come into contact with all sorts of different people. People that do their job and then go home. We got people that do their job and take the extra steps to go beyond what their job would be. And fortunately, and this is like a blessing that we have, every single member of the Addict Defender Program goes beyond what their job description would allow them to do. We go well beyond that. They give their lives, like Tim. He'll take time off of his weekends to spend hours with people that are in need. I know Crystal Magby, she'll go out of her way on days off to help people. I know that Kim McKinney and Noble Flournoy, they will take calls from people in the middle of the night that need them. So we are dealing with a truly inspired group of people that want, they are completely invested in changing the lives of these people that we've come to know, these human beings that simply need assistance to get back to being human beings.
Well, Judge Kerr, I'll tell you, just your explanation resonates within me, just the tremendous emotion that's conducted to what you folks do. We have to take a break, but I was going to ask Michael Brown. He started drugs at 8 here in Shasta County, and we're going to ask Michael when we come back from our break if he could tell us about that. So again, this is KCNR 1460 Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Do you have neck, shoulder, or back pain? Did you know that acupuncture can help? The experts at Redding Acupuncture Healthcare can treat all these problems and so much more. Acupuncture is a virtually painless therapy that's been used in China for over 1,000 years. It stops pain by stimulating the production of pain-killing endorphins while improving blood flow to the area of pain. Redding Acupuncture Healthcare has 2 experienced acupuncturists with over 25 years of combined experience. Redding Acupuncture is the largest acupuncture clinic in Shasta County and offers the most extensive selection of Chinese herbs, teas, books, and aromatherapy products in their herbal pharmacy. Redding Acupuncture Healthcare is conveniently open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Tuesdays and Thursdays until 7 p.m. We also have Saturday appointments available for your convenience. If you or a loved one have pain that prevents you from enjoying life to the fullest, then call today for a free consultation at 223-2346. Redding Acupuncture Healthcare is in the Rayleigh's Cobblestone Shopping Center on Hartnell. Call today, 223-2346.
Come to Dandelion and get fab, get fresh, get savvy, get noticed, get what you need at Dandelion. Michael Stars, Karen Kane, Not Your Daughter's Jeans, Home Fragrance, Bath and Body, and the only place in Reading that carries a full assortment of Brighton. For the men, let Dandelion be your personal shopper for that special woman. Dandelion even offers free gift wrapping. Dandelion, the only place in Reading to shop, 1332 Market Street in the Sherman Square building.
Missing in America Veterans Recovery Program, MIAP, conducts funeral escort services in the western states for veterans and their dependents free of charge. When requested by the family, MIAP will take them and their loved one on the final journey to rest in peace. Our thoughts and prayers go with the family and their grief, and we can help make this a safe and legal transport at no cost. Contact MIAP at 530-226-9900. That's 530-226-9900.
Again, this is Henry Cuenca, and we're fortunate enough to have 3 wonderful guests, and we're examining the lives of these folks who do a compelling job, lead by passion, and change us our way of thinking. I had asked Michael Brown to if he could kind of give us a backdrop on he started drugs here in Shasta County at the age of 8. Mm-hmm. And Michael, I would like to ask you a little bit, you know, about your family life, brothers and sisters, your parents, and how you actually got started in drugs.
You know, Henry, I actually came from a pretty good background. I had a very caring family, very caring father, grandmother. My mom was an alcoholic from a very early age for me. She died at a very early age from alcoholism. And I think it was just kind of a gene that kind of rolled over for me. I was always afraid of alcohol and swore I would never become an alcoholic. And at the age of 8, I was just hanging out with some friends from school that did not come from a good background or had a family that was more involved in, I guess, what we'd call back in the 60s. You know, they were, that's the kind of family they were. And so it was just a matter of choice with the family that I was hanging out with and was exposed to smoking marijuana at the age of 8 years old. And as kids do, kind of just, you know, grab a handful and sneak out the back door and run out and find out what that's all about. Mm-hmm. And that's really where it started for me. And I hid that from my family for years.
Were your parents aware that you had embarked in these activities?
You know, I remember, like it was yesterday, I was probably 12 years old. I was playing baseball, and my father grabbed my jacket, and he went to put $5 or $10 in the jacket before he left, because I was going to a friend's house to spend the night. I was 12. And he found a joint rolled up in my pocket, and he walked up and said, you know, I put some money in your jacket. I'm going to leave it right over here. But as he opened his hand and he showed me what he had, he said, and we'll talk about this later type of thing. And he was a very old-fashioned kind of guy. And later on, a later date, he told me that he'd only tried marijuana one time in his whole life, and it just wasn't something that he cared for. Mm-hmm. And so just so happened that weekend my grandfather passed away from a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And of course that marijuana joint got passed behind. It just kind of got put off because of the death in the family, and so there was never really any repercussion from that. Mm-hmm. And so with my mom being an alcoholic and everything kind of coming unfolding, and she was pretty abusive when I was a child, it just kind of evolved from there. And then at an early age of 14, I tried methamphetamine, and you know, it just took control of my life.
Right. Michael, there's your whole life has had an enormous amount of trauma. Why don't you tell listeners what you're doing right now?
Well, I'm about 4 days short of 3 years, 6 months, clean and sober.
Yay.
Off of everything. Yeah, right.
Terrific.
So, you know, that's an amazing feat for me. I'm 41 years old, starting at an early age, working up until now. I had some prior success after I got out of prison in 99.
How much time did you spend in prison?
I was sentenced to a six-year prison term. Mm-hmm. I didn't do all of 6 years, but, you know, I think these two can contest or attest that you only do about half of that. So I think that's about how much I did.
Mm-hmm. 3 years.
3 years, yeah. And I came home and moved into a Christian discipleship home and tried to get my life together. I went to work at a hospital and learned how to be in a different environment. Mm-hmm. And I was there for several years and worked my way up the ladder. Now, what I'm doing today is a direct result of, you know, the part of working in a hospital helped me become the person I am today, because I got a chance to learn from my peers how to walk and talk, wear a pair of slacks, wear the right pair of shoes that match the belt type of thing.
And you currently have three jobs, isn't that correct?
Yeah, I'm a pretty busy guy. Right.
Well, can you tell us your jobs?
Well, I work full-time Monday through Friday for a wonderful person that owns a Northern Rehab and Respiratory, and I do the marketing for her. Mm-hmm. She's an amazing boss and a great contributor to this community of trying to help people like myself. And then I also have a group at Right Roads that I counsel. It's a Right Road outpatient, and I do that 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights. I teach group there, which is a great rewarding experience for me. And then on Saturdays, when I was unemployed a few years back and a new participant on the program, I started a yard maintenance business. So I do that on the weekends.
I think Mike, though, should tell you about what happened after he was with the hospital, because he fell again into his addiction after the hospital stint.
Yeah.
So that would be then the entry to the AOP program. So I want him to describe what happened that brought him back into the drug scene while he was at the hospital.
Right. Yeah, and that is very important, Karis, Your Honorable Judge Beatty, I mean, excuse me.
You're in contempt of court, by the way.
She's actually very right, as usual. She is saying that when I came home from prison, I continued my addiction, but it turned to alcohol, which was what I talked about earlier. I would never become an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I was wrong. I did become an alcoholic, and I continued that alcoholism for 5 years after I came home from prison because I couldn't do the street drugs, but I could get away with the alcohol. And, you know, I was a binge drinker, came through the weekends, you know, started on Friday and on Sunday and went to work. And then on occasion we'd come home and have drinks or whatever after work. And 5 years later, it haunted me. It came back to destroy everything that I had worked so hard for.
Right.
And so...
We need to take a break, and this is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Forward, so does the rest of the economy. CSX trains are the most cost-efficient way to move goods to market. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Tough times don't have to mean bad times for those who choose to meet the challenges of today's business climate. Every Friday morning on KCNR 1460, we salute the spirit of innovation, discuss new ways of thinking, and celebrate success on Shasta Startup. Join us from 9 to 10 a.m. this Friday to hear how local established businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders are stepping up to get the job done. Brought to you by S.J. Denham Motors Chrysler Jeep. Shasta Startup, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back. This is Henry Cuenca, and we're with three very, very passionate folks that are making significant differences in our lives. And Judge Kerr, I wanted to find out a little bit about your background, where you were born, and your family life, and whatever inspired you to become an attorney, and then how you became a judge.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do this pretty quickly because my life is somewhat boring. I was born in Columbus, Ohio, and then moved to Southern California probably at the age of 8 or something like that. My father, I have three sisters and one brother. My brother is like 15 years younger than I am. So my dad was not the kind of guy that liked daughters, and he was not the kind of guy that liked anybody. He was kind of an abusive guy. He was an alcoholic. He was not a good father. And moved into Southern California, and my mom went back to school at the age of 40 to become a nurse. She was the finest woman in the whole world. I was blessed with having this great mother because I had a horrible father. Mm. And I think it was because my dad was so anti-woman that I decided to go on to college and get a degree, and I did get a bachelor's degree in political science from San Jose State. And then I went on to law school, all on my own. You know, it was one of those situations where your parents don't have the ability to help pay your way. I fortunately was able to get grants and scholarships and, you know, the direction of God, thank you, for my entry into law school. So I graduated from Santa Clara at the, 1983. I was with the Orange County District Attorney's Office from 1984 to 1987, and then I went over to Humboldt County, and then came to Shasta in 1990. And my mom, I talked my mom into, my father by this time had passed away. He actually had committed suicide. I don't talk about that too much, but I think in terms of the actual context of my life, it makes sense to me because he was an alcoholic and he was completely self-centered. And he left his children believing that they were unimportant to him. And I think that kind of stuff makes us who we are today. So one of my desires throughout my career as a prosecutor was to do the right thing. And I was very passionate as a lawyer. I felt very strongly that I was doing the right thing as a lawyer. I was selected to become a commissioner by all the judges of the court in 1998. And that's when I became a family law commissioner. And I have to say that that position changed my perspective greatly on life, because I would see a lot of criminals that were great fathers. And I saw a lot of great citizens like doctors and lawyers who were horrible fathers. And it would show me that you can be a doper but have the kindness.
Good family person.
You can be a great father, great mother, even though you have this terrible drug problem. And then moving into juvenile justice and now the AOP program, I see that every day. Mm-hmm. I see that personal intervention in people's lives, like we do here at the AOP, mm-hmm. is the only way to go. It's from the heart. It's like we talked about, personal involvement,
right?
Having the desire to help other people. You know, what are we supposed to do here on earth anyway? Helping people our own way is the true way to be satisfied with your life. I mean, we're all not going to be some, you know, fantastically well-known person, but within the group of people, within the life that we live within Redding, California, we can do the best job we can do with what we have and with the people around us that we can share.
Judge Beatty, I would say that if I were going to court for some criminal offenses, I'd want to be assigned to your court.
Well, don't tell the prosecutors that.
Tim, could you give us a profile of your background, where you're from, and what are the steps that led you to what you do here in Shasta County?
Sure, and before I do that, I just want to top off what Judge Beatty said. We don't do this for the recognition. The fact that we're here today is because we believe in the AOP program, and we want people to understand that rehabilitative programs work. They are successful. So I grew up in Los Angeles. I, too, had an alcoholic father, and I didn't see him much. I was living with him. I didn't see him much. He was wrapped up in work, women, and alcohol. So I think it affected me greatly. I wanted to be wanted. I wanted to be, you know, somebody to care for me, and I never got that. So as I got into my adult life, I was the youngest deputy sheriff candidate in Orange County, which is weird that we both came from Orange County.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's weird. So I was the youngest one in the academy. I actually graduated number two in the academy.
Did you really?
Yeah, and earned two awards, best written and oral communication. And you can attest to some of the judges, I just talk and write way too much.
He's very, very good at what he does.
That's what I understand.
And then I went to, I was 2 years in the Orange County Jail, then went to Torrance PD. I did a little over 5 years there. Mm-hmm. And we lived in Southern California. We moved to Sacramento. And it was in Sacramento where I got into law school. And I don't...
What triggered you to want to get a go to law school?
I wanted to be a lawyer since I probably was in, the earliest I can remember was in middle school, when two of my best friends, we always talked about wanting to be lawyers or doctors, and I wanted to be a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And that always was in the back of my mind.
So it was a seed that was being nurtured all those years.
Yeah, and I don't think if I would have stayed a police officer, I don't know if I would have become an attorney. So I agree with both Judge Beatty and Mike Brown that God's, you know, definitely directs our lives. And I believe he directed mine in a way that I became a lawyer and found my way here. Mm-hmm. But if it wasn't for my wife, I don't think I would have done it. This November, we'll be married 25 years, and she's the anchor.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Lady.
Yeah,
most women are the anchors.
Yeah, she is.
Get right down to it.
She is the anchor. She's the anchor for my left foot, and my daughter's the anchor for my right.
Right.
And my grandson, you know, stands on my shoulders and keeps me firmly planted. So it's a great combination. But in Sacramento, I graduated summa cum laude, valedictorian. Again, that's that need, that underlying need to be wanted, you know, drove me to be the best in my class. Mm-hmm. I started out as a private attorney. I had a partner. We had a law firm for 5 years. I then became a district attorney up in Siskiyou County, became the assistant district attorney in Siskiyou County for almost 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then I had this great opportunity to create and open up the Shasta County Public Defender's Office, the first county public defender's office ever here.
So you initiated that for us here.
Myself and Neil Pereira.
And listen to this. This is what was so interesting. Back when the idea came out that there was this need for the public defender's office, actually the judges were not really crazy about the idea. And I don't know exactly why. I can't remember back in our discussions why that was. But now it's true that we have a fine, fine public defender's office. A lot of great lawyers. In fact, I see some of the better lawyers in the public defender's office and, well, of course, in the DA's office than anybody that comes in
in a law firm. Very, very impressive and just wonderful to hear. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely wonderful to hear. I want to go back to Mike here and ask a few questions of Mike. Mike, I know that your father was one of the most inspirational folks in your life. And
are you going to be able to do this?
Yeah, right? I'll be all right. I'll be okay. Yeah. No, you're right.
And I always say that if I don't get a tear out of somebody, that I'm not doing my job.
Okay, well, here they come.
Yeah, you got it.
But I'd like for you to share with us the experience with your father and how he inspired you so much.
You know, Henry, it does get emotional for me to talk about my father because he was an amazing man. He's one of those guys that no matter what happened to me, he was the one that always picked up the phone and accepted my collect call. And generally, it was probably from the county jail. You know, he loved me through thick and thin. He was that guy that I looked back and said, you know, if I could be half the man and half the father that he's ever been, I'd be doing okay. You know, I lost him in June of last year. And I think, you know, and I'm going to say this passionately, is that, you know, when he went, he knew I was sober.
That's such a good thing for him to have known.
Yeah, and I hold on to that, and we talk about passion. I think that's one of the cornerstones of my strength is that, amongst several others. Christ is another one. You know, I find a lot of strength in that. And he was a God-fearing man, so I'm grateful for him that he was just always there through thick and thin, was willing to go the extra mile. And that's just the kind of man he was, and that was the kind of father he was.
I know that your grandmother also did a lot in your overall makeup. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us about your grandmother? And I also know that when your grandmother died, that you were very, very, very emotionally struck.
Yeah, it absolutely sent me in a spiral. You know, I think in life we have certain players in our lives that really play a huge part. And my grandmother was the one that was there when my mother was an alcoholic and was very destructive to the family. Mm-hmm. So you know, she was there. And then when I lost her, of course, I went the other direction. I tried to kill the pain, and that's what we do as addicts.
Okay. You know. Well, we're going to get more into that, but we do need to take another break. And this is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media, and we're going to be right back.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Orchard Nutrition Center. For 30 years, our family-owned business has been Redding's premier choice for health foods, produce, bulk foods, and the best nutritional supplements. We pride ourselves on offering many locally produced foods. Our products are good for you and easy on your pocketbook. Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust in the Cypress Shopping Center, open every day, 8 to 9.
Hi, this is Doug with Goldleaf Nursery, and it's time for our annual Groundhog Day sale. Sale starts Groundhog Day, Thursday, February 2nd through Monday, February 6th. The sale will go on, rain or shine, shadow or no shadow. What a sale it's going to be. 40% off all 1-gallon through 24-inch box shrubs and trees. 25% off newly arrived roses. You know we have over 125 varieties of bare root fruit trees, grapes, and berries. Buy one at regular price, get the second one 30% off. There is nothing like the taste and aroma of tree-ripened fruits. And every Saturday, 12 noon through February, we have a free pruning seminar. Sign up for a free heirloom fruit tree in our raffle, a real California treasure. Don't miss this 5-day Groundhog Day sale starting Thursday. Gold Leaf Nursery across the street from Tucker Oaks Golf Course on Churn Creek Road. For a map to Gold Leaf Nursery, look us up on the web, goldleafnursery.com.
There are a lot of reasons why people keep coming back to Crown Motors. And Frank Hillachico is one of our favorite return customers. And Frank says, I had the pleasure of buying another new Honda. I enjoyed the same great people and the same great service. Crown is the best dealer around. We appreciate it, Frank. The pleasure's all ours. We like taking care of our customers. Check us out online at crownmotorsreading.com. Remember, as dealers, we all pay the same price for these vehicles. The difference is what we sell them for.
Welcome back. This is Henry Cuenca, and we're talking about passion. During our break, we've had two other AOP graduates just pop in to see us. And I'm going to ask them just to give us a word or two, tell us about their lives and what they do, just very quickly, and a quick introduction.
Hi, my name is Candace Buchanan, and I have 1,248 days clean and sober.
Yay. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I wanted to say hello to my kids, Mikey, Shannon, and Skylar.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Tracy Mumford. My clean date is November 17th of 08. I am incredibly grateful for the AOP program, and hello to my children, Mikey, Emily, and Timmy. I love you guys.
Well, we all love you, and thank you very much for dropping in. Judge Kara, Judge Beatty, we learned that who you were not inspired by during your life. Who were you inspired by?
Well, you know, Mike's story reminds me. Actually, I don't need reminding. I had the same story. I had a wonderful, wonderful mother, and she just passed away in December of this year. So I don't want to get too choked up about this, but she was the mother to these three other sisters of mine and my brother. She was the one that went back to school and basically supported my family through thick and thin. She became, when my father passed away, she took over his business and followed through and patented items that he had tried to patent. And she became an electronic engineer without having the background. She became the president of the Southern California Electronic Engineers Association.
Wow. Very impressive.
Very impressive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And built a big business and then ultimately met a man and they got married and then unfortunately he passed away. She moved up north. And I got to move in with her and live with her because I was single at the time, and we were always in and out of each other's homes, and so it didn't make any sense. But I was blessed in life with having one of these people, this kind of mom, this kind of person that surrounded me with unbelievable support and love. Everything I did, she would be proud of. She used to come with me when I was in trial as a prosecutor, and she would actually go in the audience. And she used to think that the defense attorneys would be looking at her funny. So if anybody ever asked her her name, she would make up a name. She thought that she gave a little spy term. So, oh my God, they're looking at me, and my name is Marge Albert. That was the only thing she could think of saying. She was a riot, and I love her very much. She was my inspiration to do everything in life.
Well, good for you. Thank you for sharing that. Tim, I wanted to ask you, what is the selection process? I know you don't take every candidate and let them into the AOP process. Could you explain the process that you folks use in the selection of your potential candidates?
Sure. Most of the candidates are referred by defense attorneys, but sometimes they're referred by a judge or a prosecutor who sees something in them that they believe might spark recovery through the AOP program. They're interviewed by the probation officer, and our current probation officer for the program is Crystal Magby, and she's great. I call her the mother hen.
Yeah.
And she's listening,
years.
So. Right.
She is.
Crystal.
Hi, Crystal.
Yeah, hi, Crystal. And she, and along with the two alcohol and drug counselors, will get together, and they'll interview people. And they're looking for people who have a true desire to change. Mm-hmm. They come back to the committee, which is comprised of the DA, myself, the judge, treatment and probation, and we talk about these candidates, and we select the ones that we think are going to be the most successful.
And how many out of what is the ratio of those that you interview that actually get admitted into the program? Mm-hmm.
Well, we have up to 50 participants at a time. Uh-huh. We graduate anywhere between 5 to 12 during a year, so we try to keep that number pretty constant. But we reject a lot who we think during the interview process only want to escape prison. They don't care about changing. They don't care about becoming clean and sober. They just want to avoid the prison sentence. Mm-hmm. And that type of person not only is harmful to themselves because they're not going to change, but they'll poison other people who do want to change.
Yeah, I can That's see right. that. Right.
That's right.
Can you pretty much intuitively get a really strong sense as to who is really a good candidate?
Yeah. When you work in the criminal justice system, as Crystal Magby has and Tim and I have for the longest time, you just learn by looking at people, by listening to what they say, by the body movements, all those things. You just intuit whether or not this person is truly sincere about his or her recovery. I think that Crystal is rock solid when it comes to her discretion, when it comes to her observations of an individual. And Kim finds things in people that she believes are worthy. She says, well, there's a little clue. The words that were said, they impressed me. The specific words that were said, the directness. There was no hemming and hawing. There was a direct eye-to-eye contact about wanting to be clean and sober. So these two gals, and also Noble, who gets involved on occasion too, they're very good in their selection process. And then they bring those infos to the group, and we work on them on Friday mornings and make a determination. So it's a
very thorough, obviously very,
very
thorough process.
But I have to say, Kim McKinney, because she's one of our drug counselors, she's our first clinician too.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people with dual diagnosis, mental health diagnoses as well as drug and alcohol. She is the first clinician that we've had in the AOP program, and she is a godsend.
She's wonderful with these folks.
I'm more impressed than I ever was. We do need to take another break, and we're going to have time for one caller. And if you want to call in, you can reach us at 530-605-4567. Ask any question of any of our guests. Again, this is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, and we're going to be right back.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Redding restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Redding to find our website.
Joe, what's new at Adamson's Peak Performance?
Well, Linda, how much time do you have?
Oh.
We recently launched the Skinny Jeans Challenge, a women's small group personal training program now in its sixth week. Some of the women have dropped a full jean size just in the first month. That program inspired us to launch a similar program using the personal training model. We're calling it the New Body 180 because you're going to look and feel like you have a new body as you make a 180-degree change of direction in your health and fitness. The New Body 180 is a complete program. Just follow the exercise and nutrition guidelines laid out for you by your personal trainer, and you can radically reshape your body in just 4 months.
Well, who is the ideal person for this program?
Someone who feels frustrated. We'll give them a fresh start and a strategy that works.
Now, how do our listeners find out more?
Hey, just call Steve at Adamson's Peak Performance, 221-8006. We offer free consultations. You can also go to our website at adamsonspeakperformance.com.
Hi, folks. Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer, speaking on behalf of the Shasta Country Military Officers Association. MOA is the nation's largest association of military officers, dedicated to a strong national defense and to protecting the benefits of those who have served. Please join MOA for lunch at their monthly second Tuesday meeting at noon at the Country Waffle in Redding. For more information, go to ShastaMOAA.com. Shasta Country MOA, serving those who serve their country.
Good morning. Welcome back. This is Henry Cuenca, and we're having just a wonderful show of three just eminently passionate, successful people. And I wanted to take the direction of going back to Michael. And I wanted Michael to explain to us, you know, you were in the streets for quite a while, and you became aware of the fact that there was a difference of how street people talk and how they acted and that sort of thing. And I wonder if you could explain to us just really that whole context of that experience that you had.
Henry, I want to try to keep this simple if I can. you know, when I went to prison, I was 27 years old. I had been living on the streets doing drugs for Well, from the time that I graduated from high school, which was I barely graduated from high school, but I also did it loaded. And then I did. Then after that, I did go to the streets, and there was many hours and days that I did not see my family or members or anything like that. When you do that, you live on the street, your vocabulary seems to shrink. We use the words dude, you know what I mean, things like that. And I found myself in that environment when I was in prison. And so that's all I was surrounded by. And I thought to myself, when I finally got to prison, I finally had some time to get sober. The scales kind of removed from my eyes where I could think with a clear mind, had a moment of clarity when I got locked up. And so I just sort of analyzed my surroundings and realized that I wanted to do something different with my life. You know, I came before the Lord and I asked God to create in me a new heart and new life. And so I became very observant of...
Well, let me break in here because I want you to tell the story about how the fact is you were working in the hospital and then you fell again. And that's what... Right. I wanted to have you tell the story about how you got into the Addicted Offender program.
Okay, I'm gonna get right to that.
Right now.
Okay, so...
Mike's known for a long time.
You've got a job.
This is what I've done. And so when I came home from prison, I did get a job at the hospital. I started dumping trash there, and I learned how to be in an environment where professional people were at. I learned how to walk and talk differently. I made it a point. I watched Murder, She Wrote on television to learn how people interacted. I watched my boss. I watched what he wore. I watched the way he walked and talked. I was still drinking at the time. And then when I went back out and I started using methamphetamine again, it was because I had been drinking for 5 years. I didn't know what sobriety was about. I didn't know how to stay clean. I just kind of worked my way through. My job is what helped me. But then it all came to a crashing halt because I didn't know about sobriety.
And you got arrested.
I did get arrested. I retired, or I actually resigned from my position at the hospital because I had a huge cocaine addiction that took place of the methamphetamine use when I moved.
What was it costing you on this cocaine addiction?
What was it costing me?
Yeah, right.
Oh, geez. You know, I was doing probably $300 or $400 worth a day.
So what were you doing to get the money?
Well, I was working. I still had the job. You know, I was still making $50,000 a year, and so
it was a well-paying job.
Yeah, it absolutely was. I was promoted to be a director at the hospital. So,
let's have you go directly from you get arrested, and then you have a choice, and what happens?
I started running from the law. I was wrapped up in my addiction for 3 years, and I did get arrested. I had a $250,000 warrant for my arrest. I lost my home, my family, my cars, everything that I had. And when I got arrested, I was put into jail, and you land in a box, a concrete box. And there's something about that box. If you're still alive and you're not in a pine wood box, you get a moment of clarity. And I think we've talked about that several times.
And that's this aha moment.
That's that aha moment when you get to that point where you go, you know, Lord, I got to do something different here. Something's wrong with me. And so when I got pulled down, I actually got an opportunity to speak with probation and an AOP counselor in probation.
Okay, I want you to tell what your choices were in order to get into the AOP. You were looking at what kind of prison time?
I had a 4-year, 4-month prison sentence hanging over my head. That was my lid. That was where I was heading back.
Okay, so
which is what I planned on doing. I figured that's what was going
to
happen.
Or you were given the opportunity to attend and complete the Addicted Offender program.
Yeah.
Now, you don't mind my asking the question?
No.
Tell us, Mike, what you did in terms of whether or not you took it seriously at the moment that you entered the program.
I'll tell you, this program is exactly what I needed as an addict, because it brings into a person's life when they get that time of clarity where they can be held accountable. And you get an opportunity to make a choice. You either go to prison, continue your addiction, or you take an opportunity to change your life. I was absolutely ready there. I was in tears. I was interviewed. And then I had an option, and I did make the choice. And I went in front of the court. They said they would accept me. And then I jumped through all of the hoops that they give you, but they're all fruitful hoops. And you have to be willing. If you're not willing, it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. If you don't want this, it will never happen.
That's why you're so effective in working with those folks right now.
Henry, I feel that I am uniquely qualified to share the hope and strength of sobriety with others. The 25 years I was an addict, that has to be the reason why I'm here.
I'm impressed. We need to take another break. Again, this is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Meeting. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Amy Rogers. I'm a certified massage therapist with a bachelor's degree in kinesiology. I've worked with a broad spectrum of clients that have a variety of needs. I like to help people get rid of their physical pain so they can enjoy their lives. You can find me at Dr. Trudy Pratt's office at 244-7873. Most insurance is accepted. Number again is 244-7873. Let this be the year that you care for yourself.
Only in America can you donate to a worthy cause and eat all the crab you want all in one fabulous evening. It's time again for the 25th Annual Women's Refuge All-You-Can-Eat Crab Feed this Saturday night at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Welcome room opens at 4 p.m. Dining doors open at 5 with no host bar, live and silent auction items, and Dutch raffle prizes. Then indulge yourself with a delicious all-you-can-eat crab dinner, including clam chowder, salad, French bread, coffee, and dessert. This well-known dinner is the largest fundraising event for the Women's Refuge and is always a sellout event, so get your tickets early. Only $40 and available at the Shasta Women's Refuge Administration Office, the Shasta Family Justice Center, and online at ShastaWomen'sRefuge.org. Reserve your table for 8 with VIP seating, wine, and special goodies online, or call Christy at 244-0118, extension 202. Additional sponsorships and donations to the auctions are greatly appreciated. We look forward to dining with you this Saturday at the silver anniversary of the annual Women's Refuge Crab Feed, co-sponsored by Ken and Sandy Gifford, Lane Larson, and Halicala Ranch.
Hello, folks. I'm Bob, the Mount Shasta Springwater Drop. It's no wonder that Mount Shasta Springwater is the preferred choice here in Northern California and Southern Oregon. It's natural, it tastes good, and it's healthy for you. If you are not drinking Mount Shasta Springwater, you owe it to yourself to give it a try. Give us a call at 1-800-922-6227 and start enjoying the refreshing taste of Mount Shasta Springwater today. When you call, tell them you want the Bob the Drop special. Mount Shasta Springwater, naturally the best.
Welcome back. This is Henry Cuenca. And during our break, Tim Pappas gave me a cue. Don't argue with the judge. Do what she says. Do what she says.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Mike, you were telling us about these experiences, if you'd like to continue.
Yeah, I wanted to ask him if he ever was tempted to use or if he ever got to the point where he was worried about falling out of the AOP.
You know, I was asked a simple question by one of the counselors. He said, well, write down on a piece of paper the one thing that could cause you to go back out. And I remember Paul Miller telling us to do that. And it was the loss of my father that was my fear. On the AOP program, to answer your question, no, I never had a fear because I never felt like I was going to use because I had so much fear. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I the structure that I had in this program led me to be excited about it day after day. I was always learning and sharing with people like this team here is an amazing team. This committee are people who understand who we are as people, and that's so hard to find. And they're just amazing, amazing team.
Right. Could you explain a little bit more about the team?
I would. As a matter of fact, I think Judge Carabati mentioned one other time that when she came into this program as the judge, she was a different person before she got here. And she has shared that with the rest of the participants in the courtroom. She truly feels like a different person today because she's been able to go in the trenches with us and see it firsthand exactly what goes on in our lives.
Judge Beatty, could you comment on that and how this has transformed you?
Well, you know, transformation, I think, is a big word. But I can tell you, yeah. It's given me the perspective of the addicts. It's given me the opportunity to become close to the people that are addicted. You know, you don't see that kind of stuff when you're a judge. You're typically in a position where you're not relating to individuals in your courtroom. You're not doing a one-on-one session with them. You're not really getting emotional, and I shouldn't say that. I'm getting emotional with anybody, but I do, and it's just I think that's my tendency. The other judges, I think, also they personally experienced just a unique situation for a judge. This assignment is wonderful. It allows you to personalize with people that you come to care about. Mm-hmm. It's not often that you come to care about people that are drug addicts, yeah,
right.
Or have had criminal backgrounds or thieves or have done other things. But this is the opportunity to really come to know them and to care for them and to ensure that their pathway to success is as free from difficulty as you possibly can.
She's not the normal person that we know of as addicts that we've experienced. We don't see judges like this. She's more of a people person.
Right.
And Mr. Pappas as well. They just understand us, and it's incredible.
Tim, can you summarize for us your rearview mirror perspective of how this whole thing has impacted your life personally?
Wow. That's a huge question. I don't know if there's one particular incident that changed my life as far as the AOP program. I'll tell you what, the biggest thing that ever changed my life was when I was a police officer and I had to make a choice of either belonging to the thin blue line and doing whatever it took, or being the right man, the honest man, and doing what was morally right. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I chose to be with the thin blue line. And as a result of that, my life crashed, much like Mike's. but without my wife, without my family, I wouldn't have made it through that process. As a result, I realized that this strong desire to be wanted, to be needed, was corrupting my thought processes. So I had to put that aside. I had to decide that I was going to lead the rest of my life as an honest individual who did not want to ever impugn that integrity again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going to be the strength to work with.
What a personal
addicts.
Mission.
That's
I'll
part
tell
of his passion is
oh,
because
can,
he is
yes,
a moral
clearly.
Man. Let me also though say something, because I want to make sure that I talk about Ben Hanna, who is our prosecutor, and before him, Aaron Durbin. Mm. Both those individuals, Ben right now has changed. Talk about people changing. As a prosecutor, you're not used to handing out deals to people that are drug addicts or thieves. And Erin, in particular, hated thieves. She hated anybody that would steal something. There's nothing wrong with hating thieves. But what she had to do and what Ben had to do was break off of being a prosecutor and look at whether or not this individual could be saved.
Right.
And forget about the fact that they committed a crime and instead focus on the humanity behind the individual. So that's a real change for a prosecutor. And real quickly, I want to mention that Crystal Magby, who's listening to us hopefully, she's fantastic. As Tim said, she's like the mother hen, but she goes beyond what a normal probation officer would do. She invests her whole life with this. And we're very blessed to have this wonderful team from Shasta County Alcohol and Drug. Dave Wrighton just retired in January. And I'm so sorry to see him go, because he was this wonderful inspiration behind anybody from the counseling therapy division, the therapeutic folks over there, the counselors. These people rode with Dave. Dave oversaw probably one of the finest departments of social services we have in the state of mm-hmm. California.
And Michael, we're getting close to the end here. I guess that there is no question that this program has absolutely just changed your life.
Well, they taught me how to stay sober, how to get sober, get clean, and keep it. That was the game changer for me.
And the arresting officer that arrested you, mm-hmm. you probably send him a Christmas present every year, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty grateful, yeah. We actually get an opportunity to write a letter to that gentleman, whoever it is that arrests us in this program, to share with him our victory in the program. That's part of the program.
Do you remember
that we
who
do.
Arrested you?
I do, yeah. His name is Bob Carroll. Yeah, Bob Carroll.
He's still local on the...
Yeah, he arrested me. He was arresting officer.
Was he an SO deputy?
He was in CINTEF, I think.
Oh, yeah,
right.
I think he was with mm-hmm. the SO, though. Yeah, Sheriff's Department.
So anyway, yeah.
So the sheriff's behind us, by the way, Bosenko.
Yeah.
He's been very helpful, and the jail works with us because they will, despite the problems with the jail, Sheila Ashman, she's the undersheriff, she will make sure that we have a spot in the jail for anybody
to get clean.
So really? They won't bounce them out like right. sometimes we do. Yeah. They keep them there in jail to give them that little kick in the rear end.
I guess I can get rid of my latte addiction, right?
Yeah, right.
Tim, a closing comment?
Well, you know, if anybody takes anything away from this... one of the things you should take away is that we're dealing with human beings.
Yes,
mm-hmm. they've committed crimes. But we will save a lot more money in society if we treat them and give them back their self-respect, because they will become productive citizens. Mm-hmm. We've got to stop throwing money away, just locking people up.
Right.
I've enjoyed the session very, very much, and knowing you folks, and thank all of you very
Thanks
much.
For thank
you, Henry. We appreciate it very much.
This is the Dr. Trudy Pratt Show. Next week, we have Dr. Todd Royce. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. The attack by Syrian government forces overnight on the city of Homs, activists saying tanks and heavy guns killed at least 200 people, a prelude to this morning's UN Security Council vote on an Arab League peace plan. The United Nations resolution calling on President Bashar Assad to step down, vetoed by China and Russia. The U.S., quote, disgusted by the vote.
The United States has long said that it's past time that this council assumed its responsibilities and imposed tough, targeted sanctions and an arms embargo on the Assad regime, as many individual countries have already done. But this draft didn't even do that.
U.S. UN Ambassador Susan Rice. At a security conference now underway in Munich, Germany, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton saying Americans and Europeans have to send a clear message to tyrants that they have to respect the rights of their populations.
We are united alongside the